Thank you.
Praise God. You know, what just happened earlier on really was the gospel. And it's the gospel in action. Because God is the God of love. And God's love is not passive. And we, as the people of God, aren't making an impact in this world, in our community, in our families, in where we walk, then, you know, there's something wrong. Because we are the carrier of God's presence with the Holy Spirit in us. And that's truly tremendous stuff. And God's love is active. It's searching, it's reaching, it's healing, setting free. God is at work all the time. And what I want to talk about this morning is three things. One is, what foundation do we build our lives on? And I want to have a look briefly at the glory of God. Who is it, this God that we worship, we've given our lives to, we've given everything to? And then I want to look at that this Jesus is exclusive to everyone. He drives none away. He's available to all, whosoever. And God's love and God's Savior is available to whosoever. To whosoever. None are excluded. Absolutely none. God searches. He calls out into this world, into the darkness of this world. There's a Savior. There's my Son. And he offers them constantly to the world. He gets rejected. He gets laughed at. He gets mocked. He gets ridiculed. You see it? Even today you have these so-called eminent guys that go around, mock the Christian faith, laugh for us, call us stupid, superstitious people, idiots. All that you can think of. But I say, what are you doing? What are you doing? We see what we're doing here this morning. But what are you doing when you go to your universities and your academic? What are you doing? Who have you affected? And sometimes in the Christian world, we're too passive. We want to be strong and vigorous and answer with a strong voice to these people who mock us and mock our God. Because we know who our God is. And our God is alive. The God of love, power, and he's the Almighty God. Now, Jesus says in Matthew 7 and verse 24, he says, we need to listen to the words of our Savior. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. And Jesus says, that house will fall with a great crash. Now when we look, what does Jesus mean about the streams and the winds? These are the things of life that come against us. And we all know, we've all gone through experiences where these violent winds blow against us and they can rock us and they can destroy our lives. Because the word of God says there's an enemy in this world and he comes to rob, kill and destroy. And he's the wind that beats against you and all that. And the only foundation that he can't rock, the only foundation that he can't sweep away, it's the foundation of Jesus Christ. And so when we put our lives on the rock, it's sure. In the most violent storm, doesn't matter what the circumstances, that rock will not give way. It will not crack. It will not split. It will hold against whatever the enemy has to throw against it. And it has held. And so I want to look, what is this rock that we put our foundation on? And you know, I'm a long time on this earth. And one thing I find tremendously sad is when I see people, and they can be good people, and that they have a foundation that they built upon, and it seems secure, and then a tragedy hits in. And it's incredible, you see that foundation crumbling before your eyes. You see people just in tragic circumstances, no hope. Who do we turn to? Where do we go? And that rock that they thought was secure was not secure. And so what we want to look at is, who is this rock that we are to build our lives upon? And some of you probably say, oh, we already know that. But sometimes you've got to get into the Word of God, because this rock has a number of things in it. It speaks to us. And it says, Deuteronomy 32 and verses 3 to 4, I will proclaim the name of the Lord. O praise the greatness of our God. He is the rock. His works are perfect and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. Our God is faithful. He's just. He's perfect in all his ways, and he does no wrong. We can be absolutely confident in the love of God, in the character of God. It's a God who is love. 2 Samuel 22, 2 to 4. The Lord is my rock, my fortress and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold, my refuge and my saviour. We see here, the word brings out and explains to us all that this rock is. And he's our fortress. He's our deliverer. He's our shield. He's our stronghold. He's our refuge and he's our saviour. Amen. He's all of these things. All of these things. Because we need a refuge at times. We need a deliverer. We need a stronghold at times to run into and take refuge in. None of us get through this world without at times knowing we need to get to a stronghold. We need a savior. We need a refuge. Pull in, be healed, be built back up, be encouraged. Because when the wind comes and the storms come, they can batter us for a while. They can wear down our strength. But we have a refuge. We have a shield. And we have a stronghold. And that's who we run to. Psalm 40 and verses 1 to 3. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Now all of us who are saved in Jesus Christ, that means who have given their lives to Jesus Christ, who trusted what God says about Jesus Christ, that if you give your life to him, you accept him, you trust in the sacrifice of God in his Son, Jesus Christ, that God promised you all of these things. He will be a savior. He will cleanse you of your sin. He will make you righteous. He will make you holy. All a work of God in his Son, Jesus Christ, to us. Who will but put our trust in him and accept the gift of God? A gift cannot be earned, cannot pay for it. Have a billion in your pocket. Means nothing to God. It's a gift that God gives. And it's a gift of love of the Father and the Son to us. And we all know the slimy pit and the mud and the mire. You can't get out of mud. The slimy pit and the mud, you can't get out of it. And I'm sure of us all, we all have different stories. We all know what it was like in that pit. And it wasn't a nice place to be. In fact, it was a horrible place. And for some people, it's an absolutely awful place. But Christ never comes and looks to someone in the pit, covered in the mud and the mire and the sin and all that goes with it. Doesn't come and turn away in disgust. He reaches in and takes you out. Amen. And he puts you on a firm place. And he puts a song in your heart. New life. We can sing again. We can praise again. We can start living maybe for the first time in our lives. Because up to then we've been existing, struggling, battling, oppression, sin, a whole lot. But now there's a new song in our heart that God puts in our heart. That doesn't mean when we become a Christian that it's all hallelujah and diddly-doo and all that, right? Doesn't mean that. But what it means is this, for the first time, you are now in Christ. And when those storm comes, you have a refuge. You have a firm rock you can stand on that cannot be shaken. You have somewhere now to run. The pit is not holding you. Christ gives you a firm place to stand on, a refuge, a savior, a shield, and a stronghold. And in Psalm 61 and verses 1 to 4, it says, "Hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe." But sometimes as Christians, we are in this place where our heart is faint, where our faith is a smoldering wick. And we remember, Lord, you've been my refuge. Lord, you've been my strong tower against the foe. And we remember these things. And we're weak and we're faint. Now, we can be in that place, and I've been in that place. And what do? You call to the Lord. You call to the rock that is higher than you. And you say, Lord, hear my prayer. And God does hear your prayer. God does hear your prayer. God never not answers the cry of his people from the heart. And even when if you are backslidden, and I hate using that word, but even if for a time you've gone and left the Lord, and your heart has become hard and all that, God goes looking for you. I believe that with all my heart. And he calls to your heart with love. And sometimes the heart is so hardened that that call doesn't find a place for a long time. But when it finds the place, God is there waiting. And we see huge examples in the world. The prodigal son, I could go on for loads more. That God's love is a perfect love. And he embraces us and he goes looking for us. And in Isaiah 26 verse 4, it says, "Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is the rock eternal." We have to trust in God. I want to then look, because sometimes, for whatever, I don't know the reason, sometimes we lose sight of the majesty of God. Sometimes we lose sight of the awesomeness of God. Sometimes we lose sight of the glory of God. And when we come in here to worship God, this is the picture we should have. That God is God of glory. He's awesome. He's incredible in his beauty. And that's where our hearts should be worshipping from. Coming from this place where we see this God of glory, majesty and power in the measure that it's possible to see him in. But the word gives us some descriptions of what it's like with God in his glory. And it says in Daniel 7 and verse 9, it says, "Thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days." I love that. I think it's a beautiful title, the Ancient of Days. "Took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow. The hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and his wheels all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him." This is heaven. This is God, the awesomeness of God. And then it says in Daniel 7:13, "In my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All people, nations, and men of every tongue worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and His kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Now it says, men of every language. And you know, sometimes you see us here on the television where certain groups who are racist and full of hate claim God as their own. And God is their God, and it's only for their race. And they exclude other races. I was watching a program there just a while ago, and you see them. And they've every excuse and every reason to say we wouldn't fellowship with that person because of their color. And they come up with that. And the Word of God says every language, every race. Christ is not exclusive to any one race. Christ is for all. Whatever color, creed, Christ belongs to no different race. And then Revelation 1 and verses 7 to 8. Look. Now you see Daniel, this is going back to the Old Testament, coming with the clouds of heaven. Revelation chapter 1, 7 to 8 says, look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, and those who pierced him, and all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be, amen. And then in the words, he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. And in Revelation 1 and verse 12, I said, I turned around to see the voice. I'm trying to get about the glory of God, who Jesus Christ is. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man. And Daniel talked about that. Dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet. And with a golden slash around his chest. His hands, his head, and hair were white like wool, as white snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun, shining in all of its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead and I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. This cross is empty. And sometimes we have a picture of a Savior as the Son of Man. And sometimes we see him in his weakness, even upon the cross. But he's risen. And he sits in the presence of the Ancient of Days. And his face is like the sun shining in all of its brilliance. Who can look at the sun? In all of its brilliance. And he is the risen one. I was dead and I'm alive. He is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. He's not weak. He's a Savior who is more than able to meet all our needs. And he's committed himself with even legal promises, if you want to use that word, the new covenant. He's committed himself in a covenant signed with blood where his promises to us are yes and amen. Total commitment. The whole resources of heaven have been committed to us. We, the people of God. And sometimes, I don't mean this as a criticism, I'm trying to encourage us, sometimes our inheritance, we look for crumbs when the glory of God is available to us. I want to move on. This is, to me, hugely important. Because when we come to the communion and these times, right? And God has no other source of spiritual food for us, of spiritual life for us, but His Son, Jesus Christ. And it's hugely important we understand that the source of our spiritual life comes through the Son, Jesus Christ. And where we neglect to go for our daily bread, where we neglect to take the source of our life into our being, we become weak. We become weak. We become discouraged. And God comes right down to a small being that we give lip service to. And we don't really trust in our circumstances. And so when the winds blow, we're so weak at times that we're running to everything else but to the refuge, the rock, the Saviour who we should be going to. And that's what happens if we're not feeding on the Lord. We're not taking the life of Jesus Christ daily into our beings. Believe you me, you become weak spiritually. It's the same principle, the spiritual as it is in the physical. You go without food and water for a period of time, you will suffer. You will suffer. And it's the same spiritually, where we fail to take the bread and the water that is offered to us by God, in the Son, Jesus Christ, we suffer. And I want to look at that. And I want to look at God, if you're here for the first time, if you don't know Jesus Christ, believe you me, I don't care what you were involved in or what you were not involved in. Jesus Christ will accept you. He will cleanse you, wash you of all your sins. He will give you a new life. He will become your Savior. And all as He says to you by God the Father is accept the gift. And so I'm going to move on then just to look at the source of our life, right? And sometimes we think we know these things, but it's important that we get into the Word of God and we understand what the Word of God is saying to us. And it says in Psalm 68 and verse 20, it says, "Our God is a God who saves. From the sovereign law comes escape from death." But these are hugely important statements. Our God is a God who saves. And the sovereign law comes escape from death. Now, we can talk, even our pastor's mother passed on. But she knew Jesus Christ. So all she's done is left this tent of this body. And she's gone to be with the Lord. And her eternal salvation is secure because she died trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And that, in the parting, there's a sadness. But the parting is only for a time. And there's a tremendous peace in knowing that a loved one has gone on in Christ Jesus to be with God. Because you know there's a meeting again. And in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verses 12 to 17, "I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, who has given me strength, that He considered me faithful." And as I read out this, before I read on, remember this. In the service of God, God can take the most unlikely people that we would disqualify, people that we would say, "Did you hear of his background? Right, keep him well out. Let him in, but don't let him get involved. Keep him well out," right? And we've got to be very careful, because when God comes into a person's life, the life changes. The background is the background. God remembers it no more. And sometimes it makes, I do find it funny. Sometimes you say, "God remembers our sins no more," but we do. And we've got to be careful of that. I'm not saying we're foolish or unwise. I'm saying we need to be careful. And when we see the life of God working in someone, respect that and be open to it. And Paul says, "I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, anointed me to his service, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man." Now, sometimes you like to dress up Paul, because we see the Paul of, of the Christ, where God has come in. But believe you me, when Paul is talking about it, Paul was what he was saying he was. He was a violent man. And he was prepared to kill people whom he believed were going against his beliefs. And he done it. And he was violent in his persecution. I was shown mercy because I was in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with faith and love that is in Jesus Christ. Now, Paul, I'm not going to go into it. Paul brings this out. Listen, it's not down to what's in us. It's down to what God pours into us. Because the flesh profits nothing. It's the grace of God, the Holy Spirit at work within us. So no one is disqualified. You can all be in the service of God. It's a matter of faith, trusting, and allowing the Holy Spirit to do what he wants to do in your life. And for you to be open to that and step out of the boat sometimes and walk in faith. Now, he says, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. But Paul is saying, listen, I would ask you to accept this fully, what I'm saying to you. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, not to condemn sinners, of whom I was the worst. But for that very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Now to the King eternal be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Christ Jesus has unlimited patience. God is calling out to this world, calling out to people. And I know in my early life, I had no time for God. I genuinely was a blasphemer. I was into communism, into socialism, into all that type of stuff. And I genuinely thought that religion was a load of rubbish. And that this God who these people talked about was just rubbish. Because I said, how can you talk about a God of love when the world is in the state it's in? And at times when I used to meet, I used to curse these people. Load of rubbish. And you're half the problem that we are where we're at. And I had no time for God. And yet when I look back, I see where God came knocking on the door of my heart. And I just ran him. That's the right way I can put it. But a day came when Christ, in his unlimited patience, came knocking again. Peter, I'm here. And he came in. And for those who would believe on him, Paul said, I'm an example. Look at my life. Look at what I was. I rejected God. I persecuted him. I thought I knew it all. But Christ found me. And Paul is saying, if Christ found me, he can find you. And if Christ can change my life, he can change your life. And so, what happens, and this is the crucial, the rock that we're on. It's sure. It's a foundation that cannot be rocked. Christ will surrender none to the enemy. Not one will he surrender to the enemy. Not one. Christ will do all he can, and the whole resources of heaven. And heaven goes to war, but Christ surrenders none. There's no white flag waved over people's lives by God. And Christ says, who the Father gives to me, they're secure. I'm going to just read that. Hebrews 7 and verse 25. Therefore, he is able to save completely. It's the work of him. Those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. And I haven't got the time to go in. You can go to all the other scriptures. Because the word of God encourages us constantly. You're secure in Christ. You're secure in Christ. No one can snatch you out of my Father's hand. My Father, me and the Father are one. And Christ encourages us to stand firm. To stand firm on the rock. Now, I'm going to finish up now, and it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 to 4. And this is where we need to be drawing from Christ. This is where you need to be getting your spiritual food from. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, that our forefathers were all under the cloud. That would mean under God's direction, God's guidance at that time when they came out of Egypt. And in the, they all ate the same spiritual food and drink. And we know that in the desert, God met their needs for food and drink every day. And one of the things to notice was you couldn't store up food on a Wednesday for Thursday because it goes daily. You had to go every day. God's provision was fresh every day. His food came every day. And sometimes we're trying to survive on last month or whatever. And it's there for us every day. The spiritual, who ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them. I think this is tremendous. They drank from the same spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. That's tremendous. Really, I'm looking at this. I was really thrilled last night. I didn't see this before, and I said, that's just incredible. And then Jesus brings that out. He's the source. They receive this every day, and that spiritual rock, and that was that rock from which the water came and the manna were symbolic of supernatural substance through Christ, the bread of life and the water of life. And it's in John 4:14 and 6:30-35. And I'm going to read that and then I'll just end. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. John 6:30-40. So they asked him, what miraculous sign then will you give that we may see and believe you? What will you do? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. So they said, from now on, give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. And he who believes in me will never be thirsty. He is the bread and the water of God for us spiritually. For as I told you, you have seen, still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. Which I was going over earlier on. Christ drives none away. All sinners can come to the cross. Praise God for that. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who saves me. And this is the will of him. This is God's will. This is where God sent Jesus to us, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And that, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, is assured. Because the Father's will, you're secure in Jesus Christ. And God has made all provision in the cross, in the shedding of his blood for your salvation. That cross saves completely to the utmost. And the tremendous thing is, God doesn't ask us to come and do works to try and merit coming to this cross. But he says to the worst of sinners, to those in the slimy pits, the mire and the wood, come. For your Savior is waiting.